couple of things people said earlier reminded me of the story in the Old Testament about Elijah, the time that he had the confrontation, I guess you could say, with the prophets of Baal. Because the scripture was given, you know, God be God, then let's serve him. If Baal be God, let's serve him. And the context of that is where the prophets of Baal, there were all these prophets that were worshiping this idol god, Baal, he was called. And he really wasn't God, as we know. There's only one God. This thing they were calling God didn't exist, but they thought it existed, and they were worshiping this God. Not unlike what we've done in our life. Yeah. Worshiping a lot of things other than really what our life going to something other than really God. And anyway, these prophets were worshiping this idol, and they thought they were doing the right thing. And they had a confrontation with Elijah, and he had words to speak, and they didn't want to hear it because they didn't believe that his God was God. They thought their God was God, and we're okay, thank you. And there was a lot of them. I don't know how many there was, 450 or a bunch of them at this one point when Elijah butts heads with him. But he says, you know, it's just me here. Here I am. And he was a prophet of God, and he was wanting them to understand that God had sent him and that God Almighty really is God. And so he throws out a challenge to them, and he said, how long are you guys going to halt between two opinions? He said, now if God that I serve, if he really is God, then let's serve him. But if the God that you're worshiping, which is Baal, you've called him, if he really is God, then okay, let's serve him. But how are we really going to know? Because I'm saying my God is the God, the living God. You're saying we're okay, thank you. Baal is our God, and we're praying to our God. So how is a person to know? That's a good question. You know, how are we to know? Well, God has a way of revealing himself to people. Thank God for that. Yeah. He has a way of witnessing to people and putting his word and his spirit in our mind to show us and reveal to us that he does exist and where he is, and that you're on the right track here or you're on the wrong track, whichever the case may be. And so what happens is Elijah says, okay, it's enough of this, you know, sitting on the fence stuff saying, you know, we're okay and our God is God. We need to find out who God really is so we can get busy and serve this God. So he said, here's what we'll do. He said, let's just say the God that answers us by fire, then let's say that he is the God. He'll prove to us or show himself that he is the God. And so he tells the prophets, oh, you guys go ahead, go first. You know, pray to your God, get a sacrifice ready. I'll do the same thing later, but go ahead, you go first. And you know, got the little altar here, and he says, you put your sacrifice on there, and then, you know, don't light it off. Don't rub your stones together and light this off, but just pray to your God, and let your God answer by fire. If your God is really God, then he'll answer by fire, and the fire will come down, and your sacrifice will be accepted, and it'll be consumed. Okay, you know, so they take the challenge on, and they get out there, and they offer their sacrifice, and they get it all cut up, put on the altar, and they pray, and they pray, and they pray. I don't know what all it says there. They yell and holler and jump on the altar, and they take stones, and they're cutting themselves and going through all kinds of things, rituals, or whatever they went through in their prayers to their God. It must have been quite a sight. And Elijah the whole time was back here, you know, watching this, observing this, looking at what was going on here, and he helped... he helped them along a little bit with a few taunts along the way. After a while, this went on all day, I think. Hours went on. They just prayed and hooped and hollered, and nothing was going on. Nothing was happening with the sacrifice. And he said, well, maybe your God's gone on a journey. Maybe getting back home. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe you need to wake him up. Like all the yelling they were doing didn't do it. And he said, well, you know, maybe he can't hear. Maybe you need to just pray and yell a little bit louder. So here's all these taunts that Elijah's given him, and so they carry on and carry on, and still nothing happens. And it says this goes on until it's time for the evening sacrifice. And just as we know under the Jewish system of things, there was the morning sacrifice they offered, and there was an evening time sacrifice, and it was about that time for the evening sacrifice. Well, they'd done all, I guess Elijah just gave them enough time. They had all day and nothing happened. So their God didn't answer by fire. And so he says, okay, my turn. he, you know, gets the altar all repaired and, or an altar repaired and gets the sacrifice on it and does the same thing, you know, in terms of getting the sacrifice on it. And he doesn't take stones and light anything. You know, he said, let's just pray to our God and let our God furnish the fire here. And so he begins to pray to God. And it says that even before that, it says, you know, he even went an extra mile, if you will, and he had people to carry in water, and they carried barrels and barrels and barrels of water, and 12 barrels, and just put water all over the place. I mean, it was on the sacrifice, it was on the altar, it was on the dirt around it, it was just everywhere, it was all this water. And I guess he didn't want there to be any doubt as to when the fire came and, you know, how this happened. So it wasn't, you know, can be accused of lighting it off somehow on his own. So it was all soaked down with water. You know how that is when you have a bunch of wood or something and you soak it down with water, chances of lighting that thing off is not good. Well, here we go. Here's the setting, and here's Elijah, and he's praying to God. And he prays and cries out to God, and it says, you know, didn't sound like he had to pray too long. I mean, you know, the evening time was there, it was time for the sacrifice, he prays, and fire comes down from God out of heaven, and it lights that sacrifice, and the water didn't harm anything as far as God was concerned. That fire just licked up everything. It started, the fire was everywhere, and it was burning the sacrifice, and burning up the wood, and burning up everything. Elijah said, okay, the God that answers by fire, he is the God, let him be the God. And so God was showing who he was backing up and who his true prophet really was in this situation. It was just one of Elijah, 450 or however many of the others, but God was behind Elijah, and it was God Almighty that was showing that he was the God, and he's the one that you ought to listen to, you ought to serve, and you ought to worship. And so he was giving that witness to the people. You better listen up to what Elijah has to say, because I'm backing up his words. Well, that's the fire coming down from God out of heaven. That fire, the scripture says, our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Now, he's not literal fire. It's true. I mean, he didn't come down literally and do anything, but he provided what it took through the angels to cause a natural fire to come down. But spiritually speaking, our God is made up of his words. It says that God's word is like a fire. Our God is a consuming fire. His word is truth. His word is fire. He's made up of that truth, of that word, and he's got all the word, all the truth that it takes to make a sacrifice acceptable and answer a prayer to people. And so when we pray and cry to God, just as at that time, there was no doubt that he was the God and who he was backing up and who he was working through. They said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, Elijah's God, he is the God. There was a witness that he was the one that provided that fire, that answered the prayer. So for us, spiritually speaking, God provides us with the fire. He'll answer our prayer. If our heart is right with God and our motive is good, God will answer our prayer, and he'll give us his fire from heaven. He'll give us his words of truth. And the scripture was quoted earlier, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So it's by getting those words in our mind, continuing in them, and then those truths or those words is what's going to set us free. It may burn up anything that needs to be burned up in our mind, but it's going to set us free. And it's going to reveal to us who God is. So God reveals himself through his fire or his words. And for us too, you know, just along the way, there's going to be a little taunting that goes on just to show us who we're worshiping. And if we're worshiping the wrong God, then God will show us that. And sometimes it takes that discernment or Elijah to stir things up a little bit and say, you know, is this really God? Maybe you better do this, and maybe you better do that. And there's no life in that. And God will touch the discernment in our mind to stir things up so that it's revealed to us who God is and who God isn't. And then he'll back it up with giving us his words of truth to make the sacrifice acceptable to him, or burn up the old man offering that's on the altar that needs to be crucified. It's only God and his word that can do that. Right. So just a neat picture.